Ladies and gentlemen, good afternoon. Welcome to the Valeura Holding AG Half Year Results 2015 conference call. I am Shari, the Chorus Call operator. The conference must not be recorded for publication or broadcast. At this time, it's my pleasure to hand over to Mr. Michael Müller, CEO, and Mr. Tobias Knechtle, CFO of Valeura Holding AG. Please go ahead, gentlemen.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much for joining us for our half-year results call. With me here is Tobias Knechtle, our CFO. He will talk you through the numbers. I assume all of you have the presentation that we released today on our internet in front of you. I quickly talk you through the highlights on page number 3. As you can see in the details of the figures, Retail Switzerland, the ongoing optimization shows very positive results. We introduced, beyond the refurbishment program, also a new agile organization in the first half year of this year. Navil, that we started the integration in March. The integration is fully on track, and the synergy potential that we guided earlier is definitely confirmed. Bob Finance is our first launch of a proprietary digital service offering in the space of consumer credits. We launched that successfully also in the first half year, and we proceeded on the international expansion with our Bretzelkönig concept and opened the first store in the first half year in Vienna in May. In terms of the financial results, Tobias will talk you through all the details. We are highly satisfied to report an adjusted basis, EBIT increase of 47% above last year. Tobias will talk you through the adjustments in detail later on. Obviously, the strong Swiss franc had a quite noticeable impact on, specifically on the translation effect, but also to a lesser extent on the footfall in Switzerland. Navil is a highly accretive acquisition, as you can see later on a financial basis, and the full year expectations 2015 are fully confirmed on the basis of our half year results. The net profit has been heavily impacted by a additional impairment charge at Valeura Trade with 33 million Swiss francs. With that introduction, I hand over to Tobias to talk us through the first half 2015 results.
Thank you, Michael, and also good afternoon from myself, ladies and gentlemen. I start on page 5, and as Michael already mentioned, we had a very strong group performance on the continued operation of 47% adjusted EBIT growth. And as a consequence, we fully on track to achieve the targets which we've set at the beginning of the year. And I think that's a very positive development. If we look a bit closer on how the two divisions fared, overall retail on one side and Digital Bretzelkönig on the other side, we see a stunning growth on the retail side, plus 115% EBIT growth on the adjusted basis. That is on one side coming from Switzerland, which almost tripled its profitability compared to last year, and therefore shows the results also of our efforts in that country. And that in spite of the general decline in the Swiss retail market environment. Navil, of course, comes in with a very good result as a very well-run company, and we're running very smoothly in the integration process, as we'll elaborate on later on in the presentation. Finally, Germany. We said at the beginning of the year that we expect to have a stabilization in Germany, and that's why we present here. We, after adjusting for the one-off effects and the FX, the German business had a very light increase. On the Brettl Koenig side, we have a decline of 2.5 million compared to the first half of last year. That is due to a couple of one-off or special factors, not one-offs, but special factors. On one side, the strikes and the minimum wages at the Dutch retail side. Then the very strong first half we had on the retail side at Brettl Koenig, with weather also benefiting in the first half year of last year, and therefore a challenging basis for comparison. On the other side, Dutch wholesale with a very strong growth on the top line, plus 20% after having plus over 30% last year. And finally, and not least, some costs due to the international expansion, where we open our first POS in Vienna, and as we'll see later on as well, more to follow. I would like now to run through the P&L a bit more in detail prior to moving then on to balance sheet and cash flow. If we go to page 6 on the revenue side, we have an increase of 4% to 990 million. If I adjust that for FX and the one-off FX, which were only the Panini's World Cup stickers last year, we have an increase of almost 10% to a bit over 1 billion, 1 billion and 36 million. All divisions and countries are generally up. We have in local currency Germany growing by 5%. We have Naville contributing 96 million, Dutch with almost 10% growth. And then we have a controlled decline in Switzerland retail, mostly due to the closures of POS. And on the other side, we have the already noticed or mentioned customer reluctance on the Brettl Koenig side in Switzerland. On page 7, as already we did on the full year, you have the results, or you have the results by format and also the number of POS. Without entering into details, we have included here, of course, Naville as well with their 180 POS as per half year 2015. Moving on to the gross profit, we have an increase as well of 4.4% to 400 million on a reported basis. Adjusted, we have an increase of 11%. This is mainly due to, on one side, Naville, which contributes to it with a very high gross margin of almost 39% on an adjusted basis, that is discounting the positive 1 million one-off we have. Retail Switzerland contributed with an increase of the gross margin percentage by 1.1 percentage point. Retail Germany had a very slight increase of 1 million after adjusting for the Panini and the one-off of this year, which are the press inventories adjustments coming from previous years before 2014. And Dutch Brettl Koenig has an advance of 4.6 million in local currency, stemming from mostly from the B2B, the wholesale side. On the cost side, page 9, we have overall a declining cost base on a comparable basis. The increase you see here on a reported basis is more than 100% attributable to Naville. On the rest, the cost base is declining. We have, again here, Naville, which has a very attractive cost quota of one-third, roughly, which shows the lean overhead structure it has. Retail Switzerland and Austria has done a good step forward by decreasing by 5 million the cost base in compared to the first half of last year. Germany has a decline here, mostly due to the FX. On a adjusted for FX, we have a stable cost base, which is mostly due as well to having more owned POSs on board. Digital-König is stable in Swiss franc, has an increase in the local currency cost base, which is due to the higher level of production, especially on the B2B side. The expansion, most notably, of course, the start of our international operations, but then also the introduction of the minimum wages in Germany, which are roughly contributed for $1 million in cost in the first half. Finally, on the corporate side, we see stated a small increase, which is linked to the startup cost of BOP Finance, our financial services, and on the other side, the integration cost and restructuration cost linked to Nabil in the first half. Like for like, adjusted, we have a significant decline here as well that is attributable to the overhead function and here especially to the IT side, which had a sizable decrease. We now come to page 10, where we highlight again the EBIT, summing up all that we had before, the EBIT increase of $47 million on an adjusted basis. I think you start to know the presentation starting from the outside. That's the stated result, 24.6 last year, 20.6 this year. You then have the one-off effects, which are last year positive effects in both cases from one side the Panini stickers and on the other side from positive contribution, one-off contribution from Retail Germany for 2.6 million Swiss francs, which leads to the adjusted 19.4 million. By the way, these are exactly the figures we presented last year, of course. On the other side, this year, a FX effect of 1.7 million, which negatively affected the results. And then the already mentioned one-offs, which is on one side the 2.8 million for the press inventories of years prior to 2014 in Retail Germany, and then the 3.3 million linked to Nabil and the launch of BOP Finance. So on an adjusted basis and going forward, I think it shows a very strong development. Decomposing that into the two divisions, starting with Ditch Brittle-König on page 11, you again see the already mentioned minus 17%, the 2.5 million. And I think it's important to state here it's 2.5 million decline, which can really be explained by the various factors which are listed on this page. The strike on one side, the minimal wages introduction on the other side, the start of our international expansion with a linked startup cost, a certain investment carried out in the production on the maintenance side, and then, of course, as well, a slight reduction, but clearly lower than 1 million reduction on the Brittle-König side in Switzerland, where, as already mentioned, the weather conditions in H1 15 were worse than the one in 14, and the Swiss franc, of course, affected traffic in certain locations on city centers. Moving on to retail on page 12. Starting from the outside, last year, 13 million minus Panini and the already mentioned 2.6 million in Germany, you get to a bit below 8 million last year, 1.8 million out of Switzerland and 6.1 out of Germany. This year, 14.6 reported, and the fixed adjustment and then the two mentioned adjustments on the one-offs leads to 17 million adjusted results. Switzerland almost tripled, as said, from 1.8 to the 5.3 million in first half of 2015. Nabil contributed an adjusted contribution of 5.6, 6.6 million on a stated basis. And Germany, as said, stabilized versus first half of last year with a slight increase. So a very strong basis as well for continued growth in all these divisions. Moving on to page 13, it's definitely one of my favorite slides. We, you know, that ROCE and cash flow are the two metrics we focus most on, and I'm delighted to present compared to the full year, that's not the half year 14, but as it's written here, the full year 14, so only the effect of 6 months, a increase on the group level of 1.3 percentage points from 5.5% to 6.8%. At half year, our pre-tax WACC was slightly below 6.8%, so we had a slight positive contribution on a value add, so a slight positive value add in the first half of this year. If we split that up by divisions, you have retail with 2.2 percentage point increase to 9%. Cash, I should mention, is not allocated by division. That's why the sum of the two divisions are lower or higher than 6.8. Cash is only allocated on a group basis. Still, the increase on retail side is noticeable and strong. Of course, Naville contributed, which when it's a fresh acquisition is not a usual pattern. So Naville has been accretive to the group results from day one on. Switzerland, of course, with a strong growth in the EBIT as well, had a strong increase. But as well, Germany, thanks to the as well cost control and the clean out on the balance sheet, had an increase of its ROCE. Ditch Brezelkönig, due to the slight EBIT contraction, had a contraction of the ROCE as well from 7.6 to 7% over the last 12 months. Moving on to page 14 on the net profit side. Michael already mentioned that part is mostly impacted by the net profit from discontinued operation with minus 35 million. On a adjusted basis, as we'll see on the next page, trade stabilized, actually had a small increase, moved from minus 3 million to minus 2 million in H1 on an EBIT basis. We'll come back to that on the next page. Financing activities, probably the other line to be mentioned here. We had an increase in the financing activities that is on one side composed by lower interest expenses compared to the first half of last year, and this despite the financing of Naville. On the other side, we see here the effect of the Swiss National Bank decision leading to the strong currency, which had an effect on our financial assets of a couple of million, which overcompensated the decline in the interest rates. Income taxes at the low end of what we expect on the mid and long-term range at 1.4 million, leading to a profit from continuing operation of 8.7 million, and the net profit of the group of the already mentioned minus 26.3 million. Page 15, Valora Trade. Revenues with a decline, which is to a large part attributable to FX. As far as the classics line in the Nordics are concerned, also the losses of two large but not large profitable principals. Cosmetics, almost fully attributable to FX, as for Germany, Austria, and an almost stable result in Switzerland. EBIT, as mentioned, on adjusted basis with a stabilization, actually a slight increase, and the impairment here leading to the already mentioned result of minus 34 million. Moving on to page 16 and the balance sheet. Without entering into too much detail here, the four effects which are to be mentioned here compared to the full year of 2014 is the Naville acquisition, which of course had an effect on the goodwill, on the cash, on the net working capital, and for the small portion we finance with debt as well on the debt. On the other side, the strengthening of the Swiss francs, which affected as well, I said, the cash, but also lowered the goodwill and part of the debt, which is denominated in euro. The normal seasonality of the dividend, which we pay out in H1 compared to the full year of last year. And then the trade impairment, which of course also had effect on the overall balance sheet. As a consequence of all this, the capital employed as per half year is at 965.2 million. Shareholder equity is at 37.2%, and the leverage ratio from including discontinued operation is at 2.6 times. Net working capital has 63.5 million, which is 3.2% of net revenues. Moving on to page 17 and my last slide from the financial part. The cash flow, and I'm happy to report here a strong increase from the free cash flow from continued operation. While we had a negative 2.1 million last year, we can show 15 million, a bit over 15 million in the first half of this year. That is mostly attributable to the change on the net working capital and current assets, here coming from Ditch Naville, but mostly from Retail Switzerland, retail in general, but mostly Retail Switzerland, which contribute 13.5 million. These effects, that strong result on these lines, overcompensate the stated decline in the EBITDA, which is due, as shown, to the FX effect. The investment activities show also the control we have over the CapEx spending, showing a reduction from 27 to 23 million, and all this leads to the already mentioned 15 million. Summarizing all this, as already said at the introduction, I think we are well on the way to solidly achieving the expectations, the guidance we have set at the beginning of the year. And with this, I hand over to Michael.
Thank you very much, Tobias. I move on to slide number 19 and talk you quickly through the actual strategic initiatives that have been driving this first half year result. First of all, number one, the transformation of our retail business progresses very well. As you can see in the financials, the EBIT performance of the Swiss business almost tripled. We had a very strong performance here coming from the improvements from the refurbishment program that we initiated 2.5 years ago. This refurbishment program will come to an end by the end of 2015 now. By then, we will have refurbished with a focus on roughly 300 POS our main kiosk locations, but also touched all the other POS, improved assortment, introduced services, and additional measures that help us to improve the profitability of that part of our business. As you also can see that Germany has been stabilizing the results, and also there we started now with a new management team at the beginning of that year, that refurbishments, I will come to that in a minute. Secondly, Naville, definitely one of the highlights this year. The Naville acquisition, as Tobias has shown in the numbers, is highly accretive for us. The synergies that we expected are all confirmed. We completed the integration process starting from March through end of June. Over the summer, we actually started the detailed organizational design and implement that officially as of September 1st. It's a very well-managed company. We are very pleased that this company is now part of the Valora Group, and I expect significant upside here to come over the next coming months and years. Thirdly, we worked on the focusing efforts quite successfully on the logistics side. So we completed ultimately the divestiture process of our logistics activities. As a reminder, we divested last year our print distribution business, and this spring we completed the transaction of all the goods logistics, so we are now in a fully outsourced solution for all our retail businesses here, and we don't have any exposure to the actual logistics operations anymore in the group. We are still working on the solution for Valora Trade. We expect that we can communicate a solution in the second half of this year. On page number 20, number 4, I mentioned already Germany. So in terms of concept innovation and expansion, we made also quite noticeable progress in this first half year. In Germany, we opened quite a new store format focusing on the convenience experience, very high degree of fresh products, fresh offerings, including hot and cold beverages that is very well performing and very well accepted by our customers and attracted quite some attention from the mostly regional train operators in Germany, and we're optimistic that we can open a couple more of these stores over the next coming months. So also in Germany, we make quite some progress in terms of repositioning specifically our convenience formats beyond our collaboration with the Deutsche Bahn, with the SSDBs. And I mentioned already Pretzelkönig. We communicated at the end of last year already that we plan now to expand Pretzelkönig beyond the two core markets, Germany and Switzerland. We built an organization to do that, and we actually opened the first store already in the first half of this year in Vienna. And this store is very well accepted and runs very smoothly with and we're highly satisfied and optimistic that on that basis we can continue here quite successfully this international expansion. Number 5, our digital service offerings, our expansion effort. We set up in the first half of this year the Valora Lab, where we added an organization within Valora that focuses on the digital development of digital service offerings. This organization, as a first step, launched now as part of the Valora Group, this Bob Finance platform. It's a platform, digital-based consumer credit platform. It's running since 1st of June, and we are very satisfied with the actual acceptance by the consumers, and I expect here that we are able, on the basis of that success and with that organization, to add more products over the coming months. Number 6, I mentioned the changes in the organization in across Valora. We had a change in the organization in Germany with a new managing director joining us, Peter Oberdobel, but we also had quite a significant change here in Switzerland, partly related to the integration of Navil, but also related to an effort to create a more agile organization, an organization which is on one hand leaner, but also more effective in terms of driving our retail business here in Switzerland. On the following pages, we added a couple of pictures and page 21, you see some impressions from our stores that we acquired from Naville. On page number 22, on the right-hand side, this is actually this new store in Germany. It's located at the S-Bahn station Lattenkamp in Hamburg. So whenever you visit Hamburg, you should visit that store. It's a quite significant step for us into offering a new concept, fresher concept, more convenient concept, and as I said, very well accepted by the consumers in Hamburg and attracted quite some attention. I mentioned the expansion to Germany with Pretzelkönig, and on page 23, a rough overview of our Bob Finance activity. Bob Finance, it's a 100% subsidiary of Valora, so we fully control that business. We built from scratch with a very experienced team a completely new consumer credit offering. We will develop this offerings further. I expect that over the next coming months we can also update you on some new products, and we did that with a partner on the banking side, the refinancing side, Glarner Kantonalbank, which is here perceived as at least one or maybe even the most digital bank in Switzerland, a bank that has proven in the mortgage market, for example, with a digital offering that you can offer a completely new product, highly successful products in the Swiss market. In terms of outlook on page 25, in the H2, we will continue to use the momentum that we have built up in this first half year, a momentum that we have built up around the changes in the organization, creating a more agile organization with the integration of Naville and with all the positive elements now coming from the refurbishment of our stores that offer also new opportunities to introduce new products, to offer new promotion activities for our brand partners. In H2, we will continue with these efficiency and structural improvement programs. We guide a total of 15 to 20 million program over the next 2 to 3 years. So we expect that we can improve the effectiveness of our business on the cost effectiveness of our business, mostly related to the Swiss organization of 15 to 20 million. These 15 to 20 million are related to, first of all, the effort we made to set up an agile organization. Secondly, to our IT efforts to reduce IT costs that we mentioned already. Then thirdly, the synergies that we can realize with the Naville organization, but also the logistics outsourcing effort we expect will yield a positive cost improvement over the next coming months and years. Additionally, I mentioned already the focus on the digital offerings, leveraging our consumer base of, in Switzerland alone, over 900,000 customers per day in average at our stores, leveraging this customer base with digital offerings. We will release additional offerings developed in-house by our Valora Lab over the course of the next half year. It will also, beyond the financial products, include loyalty and payment services that become more and more relevant and important to communicate and connect with our consumers. We expect to launch the first of such a digital-based loyalty and payment system in the group in the second half year in one of our formats, and then we will roll it out over the course of 2016 across all the other formats. Solution for Valora Trade, this will definitely remain one of our areas of focus here. We are optimistic for H2 that we can communicate on the actual solution that we will find here. And ultimately, the growth and concept development initiatives, we build up a lot of momentum in the first half year, end of last year already, with the initiative to expand Pretzelkönig internationally. We will open further POS in Vienna this year and Paris in the second half of this year. And we are optimistic to build up here a relevant international franchise for the Pretzelkönig brand over the next coming months and years. I mentioned already the initiatives where we opened successfully new store concepts in Germany, the refurbishment program in Switzerland that comes to the end towards the end of 2015 for the kiosk business. We will now increasingly focus our efforts on the convenience and the food service segment of our group. You can expect that we will initiate also in that space now for the next years new programs where we will compete with completely new or at least redeveloped formats in the market space in Switzerland and Germany, which will drive then further growth and profitability in the core retail business. With that, I open up our call for the Q&A.
The first question is from Felix Rammers, Credit Suisse. Please go ahead, sir.
Yes, hi, everyone. Thank you for taking my questions. I actually have three. First, on Navil, I was surprised on the strong EBIT contribution in the first half. If I, you know, extrapolate that to the full year, considering that you only consolidated Navil for 4 months, then I get to roughly 70 million EBIT for the full year. Is that a reasonable number? And why do you explain that gap between the EBITDA of 16 million, which you told us when you acquired Navil? That's question number one. Question number two would be on trade. Can you quickly explain the 20 million cash outflow on the operating side related to discontinued operations? And the third question would be on the efficiency program. Is it fair to assume that the 15 to 20 million will drop through directly to the EBIT line, or will you reinvest parts of these cost savings or EBIT improvements into the business again?
Maybe I start with question number three. So the 15 to 20 million that we guide here, this is the result, as I explained, from several measures, cost measures, hard cost measures along organization, IT, synergies we realized, and logistics. So this will have a direct impact on the bottom line. And on top of that, you will see then obviously the positive momentum coming from the efficiency and margin improvements in the actual operational business. Having said that, I mean, part of that has been already built in our shorter-term guidances, but it shed some light on the actual overall impact that this program that we initiated now this summer here specifically on the organization side over the next 2 to 3 years. And in that regard, you can assume it has a direct net bottom line impact.
Then moving on to the cash outflow side, it's not correct to say that it comes from trade. It comes from the discontinued operations. If you analyze it a bit further, if you remember in the first half of 2014, we had services. that contributed a double-digit cash flow in the first half of 2014, and zero, of course, in 15. Our logistics business that we sold as well had a positive effect here. The delta, or negative effect here, the delta between last year and this year is a mid-single-digit figure, and only the rest is attributable to trade. And here, most notably, then a slight worsening of the net working capital conditions linked to actually one or two specific countries. But the big bulk of it is really attributable to the two businesses, which by now are not part of our group anymore. Finally, Neville. I think it would be a bit a bold assumption to extrapolate that on a full year basis. First of all, you had a one-off effect in the first 4 months. Then we also had by starting only in March, you typically don't consolidate months which are relatively weak, January, February. And therefore are clearly under proportional and very clearly under proportional compared to the full year basis. But to preempt already the follow-on question, it's also clear that on a adjusted basis we expect a figure which is more than 10 million for the full year. The improvement compared to the figures we've shown last year is attributable that when we presented the acquisition, we based ourselves on our latest estimates that were available to us. And actually, the company had a better full year eventually. Secondly, the company really performed simply very strongly this year, and that is not only the one-off, but in general, with both the distribution with certain new cooperation and the retail side, which led to that. And finally, it's also clear that certain costs, which but that's a small effect of all certain costs, so person that left were not directly replaced, already preempting then the future synergy effects.
Thank you. Very clear. One quick follow-up question regarding the cash outflow related to this discontinued operation. Is that, you know, also a seasonal effect that you see some improvement then in H2 related to trade? Or will that figure remain at 20 million minus for the full year?
Well, as I said, I mean, the services was discontinued or sold in July. So basically that delta stays as it is. It was 11 million in June. It was higher in the first half. Then we had in July we had then still a small delta, of course, as we had the positive cash in. The logistics part here, you also will see a small increase, but that stays in the single digit figures. On the working capital on the trade side, which has a small effect I mentioned, that really depends then on the overall continuation. But generally, we clearly fare better in the second half year as far as networking capital is concerned. The biggest effect here comes from cosmetic side, which already starts the stocking for the Christmas sales in the first half, with the peak then in the third quarter, and hopefully and normally is fully destocked by end of Q4.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
The next question is from Marco Strittmatter, Zürcher Kantonalbank. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you. Good afternoon. Just two questions about the balance sheet. First, is the net assets of the trade division as showed are shown as being 68 million Swiss francs. Is this an indication for the selling price? Maybe a statement on that. And secondly, we have in the equity currency translation adjustments of 118 million Swiss francs. Is any part of this related to trade or something which might be at risk for a write-down in the near future?
Thank you for that question. I'll start with the second one on the currency translation adjustment. Of course, here the strong Swiss franc in general has not helped. That is very clear. And yes, as most of the acquisitions were abroad, on the trade side, a part of this is attributable to trade. As per half year, these were 18 million. Concerning the net asset value, what remains essentially in this net asset value is the working capital and the cash plus or minus assets. Now, of course, most of that is then reflected in the selling price. It's then up for the negotiation to see which part of the working capital needs to be adjusted. These are point-in-time figures. You need, to, of course, in the working capital to see an average working capital so that the business is sustainable during the year. And the same applies to the cash, where part of cash is as well cash needed for operations.
Okay, thanks.
You're welcome.
The next question is from René Weber von Tobel. Please go ahead.
Hello, everybody. The first one is on U-Store, the new concept. Could you tell us a little bit more about that? Is that in existing locations, or are there new locations? What is the target in terms of number of stores till the year ends, and how does it look like for the future? Second point is on ditch expansion. You mentioned Austria, further stores, and Vienna. How much do you plan for 2015? New countries, you mentioned Paris. First one, are the plans for going to other countries as well? And then the third one is on the divestment again of the trade. You have reduced now the value of that to impairment. Do you already see that will be sold by as a whole company, or has you to divest that in parts by countries or business units?
Thank you, Irene, for these questions. I mean, On U-Store, U-Store is already an existing brand we use in Germany. So it's not a completely new brand that we introduce at new locations, but it's rather a refurbishment. So this specific store that we opened now in Hamburg used to be one of our stores that we have run according the previous U-Store concept. And we refurbished it completely, reopened it after also a period of closure. And the whole idea is now to roll this out at similar existing locations. But we are also approached now by several operators of mostly regional train operators that we open completely new store. It would be too early now to guide how many stores we plan to open this year or next year. We're in the phase of discussions now. It's quite obviously, I mean, wherever we have already existing stores of that type that is suitable for such a format, we consider now the refurbishment. Because we are very satisfied with the results. In terms of completely new store, it's too early to guide a specific number. But in general, I think what you will see in Germany is now, after a period where we tested a couple of formats, where we had quite some operational improvements to be implemented on all dimensions. You see now that we start to build up the momentum on the concept development and the actual refurbishment side of the business. And this does not affect only the used stores, but we also have quite a few programs related to the PMPs in terms of introduction of or inclusion of existing formats, convenience formats in these PMP, combination of formats from our groups, and there we made also quite some progress in the discussions with our main partners, and that's actually what I expect for the second half year, as I said, but specifically also for 2016, that you see a lot more to come on that side, that we create now and use that momentum that we have been creating over the last months in Germany to open either refurbished store or completely new stores across all the different formats, not only the used store. In terms of Pretzel König International, we have not guided specifically the number of stores in Vienna and Paris. I would go as far as it will be below 10, which is probably not a surprise for the second half of this year. We only started to build up the organization at the beginning of the year. As you can imagine, we had to put all the supply chain in place. We had to design the store, adjust a little bit the assortments to be suitable for these kind of international expansion. But we are very satisfied with the results in terms of customer acceptance, but at least as important also by the discussion we have with the potential landlords, and it's ultimately now up to us to decide in what kind of pace we open up new stores. The stores that we open or have opened so far and will open in the second half years will be owned stores, so operating on our own balance sheet. Obviously, the next step will then be to consider to accelerate on the basis of that success the growth in terms of finding master franchise partners that take the concept then to new metropolitan areas. In the first step, I expect mostly in Europe, and that's something where we will start the negotiations towards the end of this year. So it's too early to guide what we expect for 2016 in terms of number of stores. But as I said, I'm very satisfied with the result of this single store, but most importantly, with the acceptance also from landlords, not only in Vienna, but in Paris, the discussions we had in other locations across Europe. In terms of the value of trade, or specifically your question, whether it's sold as a whole, this is very much the focus, and it's very much our approach so far that we sell trade in one go as a division, including the classic and the cosmetic business. It's quite clear that on an individual country basis, we are also approached, because it's now very much in the market, very much public, that we are in a divestiture process. So there would be opportunities to sell specific countries on an individual basis, but our main focus so far is to find a solution in one go and to sell it as a whole.
Okay, thank you.
The next question is from Caroline Price, Fargo Management. Please go ahead.
Thank you for taking my questions. My first one is just if you could comment a little bit on where you stand in terms of in Switzerland. Are you kind of where you want to be in terms of converting own stores to agency model? And similar question for Germany. Are you close to where you want to be in terms of own store versus franchise points of sale? And then it's good to see that the profitability or the profits in Germany stabilized. What kind of comments can you make about, you know, what you think the potential is for further improvements in the retail Germany business? Thank you.
Thank you very much for your questions, Caroline. In terms of agency Switzerland, so we are progressing with that effort to increase the share of agencies in our kiosk network. As you probably remember, Naville is a network that is exclusively operated by agents. So by acquiring Naville, we also acquired the know-how related to the agency operation. And we will continue with that program. And I'm still very optimistic that we will get to the target where we will ultimately roughly 90% of our network in the kiosk space be operated by agents. In terms of retail Germany, the franchise share of franchise has not changed actually significantly since the end of last year. So the own store with smaller changes in terms of additional stores that we open operate as own stores is kind of, or the share of own stores is kind of unchanged. What's even more important to me currently is actually that we see now that by start to work with the network and by improving the way we operate that network in Germany, the level of confidence and satisfaction with the franchisees with us is actually increasing. So I'm very optimistic that we are actually on track ultimately also then to increase again the share of franchise stores by the time we have defined in the specific locations that we have taken back, for example, last year for own operations, that we will hand them back to new franchisees. And in terms of measures there, I think I mentioned several measures already before. It's after stabilizing now the operations and the management, the main effort has been over the last 6 months, mainly the concept development, so figuring out in what location we use what format, to what extent we have to change the format to increase the share of food. And the example I have shown from Hamburg, Lattenkamp, I mean, shows that we can move very quickly, very far ahead. This store has more than 50% of food revenues, which is quite astonishing for a store at a small store at this location that also sells tobacco. And on that basis of that experience and other experiences we made in the store, and also on the back of quite strong like-for-like figures, as you have seen from the German network, I'm very optimistic that we also managed to build up now momentum, not only internal in terms of operations, but actually in the marketplace and in the cooperation with our partners, Deutsche Bahn and our franchisees.
And if I may add to that, that's the market perspective, but also internally we have greatly moved ahead. We are in the process of significantly simplifying our legal structure on one side. We're reducing as well the so-called partners, which is the franchise light partners, and convert them to real franchise, and therefore reduce the number of operating models that we have. And we're having much better processes, structures, systems, which are the basis actually then to put into execution the various actions that Michael sketched out to you.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
The next question is from Julian Radlinger, UBS. Please go ahead.
Yes, hi everybody. This is Julian Radlinger from UBS. I have four questions, and I'd like to start with the very most important one. Talking again about the trade division, looking at the balance sheet of the trade division. If I compared this half year to the full year statement, the net asset value declined from about 130 million Swiss francs to just under 70. That's almost a 50% decline. Already at the full year results, you said that you expect or you're taking into account that even with selling the trade division, free cash flow this year may not cover the dividend, but you're still going to hold on to it. Now that the net asset value of the trade division has almost halved, it's reasonable to assume that the expected achieved price you can achieve by selling that division is going to be significantly lower, which means free cash flow will be lower, and it's going to be even more difficult to cover the dividend. So my simple question is, in how far can we expect the dividend to be delivered in the first half of next year? The second question is regarding the guidance. Quite simple. You gave the guidance based on parity of the Swiss franc euro exchange rate. Now we haven't seen a parity. We've seen something like 1.05 to 1.1. You gave the adjusted guidance at of 52 to 57, if I'm not mistaken. So if the exchange rate stays where it is, can we assume that you will achieve a better result than that because the exchange rate didn't fall down to parity? The third question I have is quite a simple one. What is the recurring impact of the minimum wage for Ditch and Brez or for Brezelkönig in Germany? You said it's it was part of the reason why we had a lower operating earnings this year, but compared to the train strikes, which is a one-off, I think we all agree minimum wage is obviously a recurring impact. So can you give a figure for what that will be annually going forward? And my last question is, you were saying that 2015 will be the final year of refurbishments in the kiosks towards selected kiosks selling more food and services products and less press and tobacco. So my question here is, once you're done with that by the end of the year, what can we expect to happen going forward when you will still have a press and roughly 15% of your gross profit from kiosks coming from press, and press products still declining by 3% each year, which has been the case for the last 5-6 years, and we can expect that to go forward. What do you think you can do, or what do you plan on doing to stop that? Thank you.
Thank you, Julian. I'll take the first three questions, and Michael will answer the fourth one. Concerning trade, the decline from 130 to 70 is first of all due to FX, which has the biggest impact here, and on the other side, the impairment we took in the half year. Concerning the second part of that first question, how that is linked to the dividend payment, the sale was never part of the free cash flow. Well, actually, it's never part of free cash flow as it is here. And therefore, we said we will not fully have the cash flow covered out of the free cash flow. Nothing has changed to that. As you can see, we had a strong first half year compared to the first half year 2014. Normally, first half is clearly lower than the second half. So I think as well on what we said on the free cash flow, getting close but not fully covering the dividend during that transition period, I think we're fully on track. Concerning the guidance, you're absolutely right. We hinted or we set the guidance at parity. We also said that the impact that we have there is both translation and transaction. Very clearly, the transaction effect with the footfall, mostly with the footfall impact on Brezelkönig and partially as well on the retail, is part of that and therefore has materialized. The translation effect, which is the second part of that FX effect, there indeed, I think we gave the sensitivities and you can make an adjustment as far as you deem it justified and necessary. Concerning the recurring impact of minimum wages, first of all, if you look at the way we presented it, we did not show it as one-off, not the minimum wages, and also not the strikes, because saying that the strikes in Germany are one-offs, I think, would be a bit optimistic. So that is both part of normal business, so we don't have any one-offs at Ditch Brezelkönig on here, but we consider all of that part of normal business. And hence, you're absolutely right, the minimum wages is the recurring part of that. I said it's around about 1 million in the first half. That's also a bit less than 1 million in the first half, and that's, you can double that then, of course, for the full year impact. I hand over to Michael for the refurbishment question.
Yeah, thank you for that question in terms of refurbishment program. I mean, you remember this program goes back 3 years. In the numbers, I think you see very clearly now that this program starts to yield and to add to our bottom line. Now, what is beyond that program was your question. I mean, first of all, I mentioned on the strategic initiative the agile organization, the way we manage our network in Switzerland can be improved in terms of effectiveness and efficiency in all the central functions. And I think you get some indications here looking at the Naviel business on a more or less standalone basis, as Tobias has been explaining for the first 4 months. Gives you some indication in terms of profitability, how you can run such a business in a lean and agile way. I mentioned the 15 to 20 million improvements affecting mostly Swiss business. So beyond the actual refurbishments in the store, we are focusing now very much in terms of setting up a cost-effective, lean, but agile, fast, effective organization here in Switzerland. Now, with the refurbishment being completed, obviously, you can still work with these stores, and you can still work with these stores in a much more effective way. Just giving one example regarding coffee, we introduce now the coffee. We have the coffee offering in all the locations. Coffee is selling very well in these locations, but I'm personally very much convinced that we can even improve from the level we have installed now, also going forward in these stores without significant investments that have to be allocated to that. It's just an improvement of the experience, an improvement of the products that we offer in the food space. We only started that, as you remember, 2.5 years ago. We are still in a phase where we can, I think we're already doing it a better job every day, but over the years we will do a much better job, and we have now the hardware, the setup in the stores to offer these kind of products. And then thirdly, the digital initiatives is also very important to specifically the kiosk network, because the kiosks are still, in terms of number of customers, enjoy the biggest footfall in our network. And that's where all these services that we offer already today sell extremely well, and where I expect a significant positive impact also from loyalty and payment programs. You've probably seen that we launched a new payment program for Star Ticket, where you can buy your tickets at the kiosk. A at kiosk is the offering called. These are steps in a direction where we position the store and benefiting from the good locations and the footfall we have, and these offerings are accepted very well by the consumer. So what we will have completed by the end of the year is the actual refurbishment program, setting up the hardware to use these stores, and it has not only been invested in the actual shelf, but also very much in the IT in the stores. We have a very much up-to-date IT in these POS, and we can use this hardware and that infrastructure now to offer new, more advanced, better products to our consumer and connect with them more effectively. I also mentioned that we will focus now the concept development in Switzerland more on the convenience, PMB, the AVEC PMB, and the food service side. And I'm very optimistic that also there, in the same logic as we have done it with the kiosk, we can build up additional momentum along similar lines or similar measures that we applied to the kiosk business.
Okay. Thank you very much. Very informative.
You're welcome.
The last question is from Marco Strittmatter, Zürcher Kantonalbank. Please go ahead.
Yes, just a quick one. Can you just tell me the reasoning or the idea behind Bob Finance? I don't quite see the fitting with your existing business. People won't go to the kiosk to apply for a credit. And I mean, there is a bank behind it, so where do you earn money on it?
Thank you very much for that question. I mean, first of all, it follows the logic of digital service offerings. We have 900,000 people in our stores only in Switzerland, in average on a daily basis. This offers us a huge potential to offer additional services. We started, as you know, a couple of years ago to offer services also in the financial space. We were very much impressed by how well it has been accepted, the kiosk as a destination for products like debit cards. And on the basis of that success, we're going to build now new offerings. We started to do that in the consumer financing space, a space that is actually quite closely related to the debit card business. If you think about it, if you have a credit card, what you have is actually consumer credit linked to a card. So far, we have a debit card business, which is very specific to Switzerland, very successful. Switzerland is, along with Japan, one on a global basis, one of the countries where debit card products sell the best. Also, our iTunes product, for example, enjoys some of the highest volumes on a global basis per consumer. So debit is a very good product for Switzerland, and it's very closely linked to the actual credit side of the business. So you see a lot of other retailers using elements of credit for the purchase financing. The way we want to do it, we want to link it to our existing products. And the way we started is with a consumer credit offering that is, as you correctly pointed out, actually today completely unrelated to the kiosk. So far, we only use the kiosk as a promotion platform, but it's a completely unrelated activity. But even in that setup, it's actually quite astonishing to see what kind of growth new consumers we can attract. The logic is obviously now to add products that are closer linked to the kiosk, but it's important that you start with a solid operation, and that's what we have built over the last roughly 12 months with a solid team. And that's the important part, that is, first of all, 100% controlled, owned by Valora. It is the significant part of the value chain of that product. So we are not a bank, but we are quite proficient these days in terms of banking operations in that specific consumer credit space. And GLKB, the bank we use, is actually the refinancing partner that we have chosen because it's a very digital bank. It is very experienced in that space, but the setup we created is fully controlled by Valora, so we are not, to use your words, dependent on others. However, we are very much committed in that partnership with GLKB. And me personally, I'm absolutely convinced that you will see, and if you look at other international markets, that retailer are actually in a very strong position to offer consumers attractive digital-based consumer financing products in general. We started now with the consumer credit, but as I promised in my presentation, there are more products to come, and we are very committed to develop that now on the basis we built for that business.
And if I may add one point from a financial point of view, it must be stressed that there's absolutely no impact on the balance sheet from these activities. There's no risks that remain with us, and the credits are fully then passed on to the GLKB. So there's no effect on our balance sheet, while, as Michael stressed, we own the customer, we own the relationship, and therefore own all of that business and its value directly.
Okay, great. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you very much.
Gentlemen, that was the last question.
So thank you very much for attending our half-year results call. Thank you for all the questions, and I look very much forward to update you on the progress of our strategic initiatives very soon. Thank you very much, and have a good afternoon. Bye-bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, the conference is now over. Thank you for choosing Chorus Call, and thank you for participating in the conference. You may now disconnect your lines. Goodbye.